The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many and other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be together this day on this Gaudete Sunday, a day when the vestments of the church disclose to us that the coming of our Lord Jesus is near. Rose, which is a sign of joyful expectation, the advent of the Lord Himself is coming. The Sunday where we light the rose-colored candle on our Advent wreaths. It is a time where our hearts are invited to be awakened from the inside out to the Lord God Himself. Today in the Holy Scriptures, we hear from John the Baptist once again. And the church is bringing us to the Baptist because it is the Baptist who prepares the way of the Lord. And this whole season, all of us who have been baptized, many confirmed, and who received the Holy Eucharist, in this whole season, the Lord is inviting us to be converted anew, to discover again the essential fruit of the Spirit. And the essential fruit is love. And the essential fruit of love is joy. My brothers and sisters, the joy that the Lord gives is not a joy that the world gives. And it is not a joy that the world can take away. It is a joy that the world can infringe upon and seek to chain and bind, but it is also a joy over which we can graciously exercise the authority of baptism. It is authority that we are called to exercise so we may guard the joy that we have received in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. In our gospel today, the crowds come to John the Baptist. What should we do? The soldiers come to John the Baptist. What should we do? And the tax collectors come to John the Baptist. What should we do? Three times we hear those sacred words, and those words that are to become our own. What should we do, Lord Jesus? What should we do to discover anew the joy that it is to be a child of God? What should we do to discover that you truly dwell in our hearts? Life at many times can be experienced like an exile. Our satisfaction and our joy in time we discover cannot come from our work. It may not even come from our family life. It may not even be discovered in marriage. It may not even be discovered in our hobbies and things that used to give us so much joy. In time we start to realize that joy has to have a deeper root. The joy has to have a deeper cause. So that joy becomes infectious and then begins to communicate joy to things that are even difficult for us. That elevates our hearts and allows us in our vocations, in our work, in our family life, in marriage, in celibacy, in the priesthood, in the life of the church, we become communicators of joy because we have become receivers of joy. In our first reading, we hear from the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah writes under the king Josiah. Josiah is famous because in the book of Kings, the second book, he is the one under whom the book of the law is discovered, likely the book of Deuteronomy. And he has the entire book read to him aloud. When he hears it, he repents and he realizes that the strength of Israel, who has been crushed by Assyria, the countryside which has been razed to the ground by invading forces, is never to be the power of taxes and soldiers, or not even the voice of the crowd who can lend support to a kingship. The strength of Israel is the Holy One who is God Himself. Josiah becomes the great reformer king, and he desires to place at the center of Israel's life the cause of their joy. The cause of their joy is not because they have accomplished something. The cause of the joy is not because they've impressed anyone. The cause of their joy is not because they're the greatest of the nations. The cause of their joy is because they have been chosen by God. And so Zephaniah's prophecies for the first two-thirds of the part condemn Israel and condemn the nations. But the last part of the book, which we hear from today in chapter 3, it is about the joyful expectation of a people who find themselves in ruins and yet have still the capacity to safeguard the gift of joy they have received. They are still free in their hearts. The king of Assyria could not take that from them. The difficulties they faced ultimately could not take the freedom within their hearts to choose to be faithful to the Lord. And in making a choice of assent to the gift of the election, Israel can begin to celebrate with all of the joy of the festivals, even without the outward signs of the festivals, because the Lord, their God, their Savior, was in their midst. In our second reading today, we hear from the letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. The Philippians is one of the letters of St. Paul written while he is in chains, my brothers and sisters, when he is totally submitted to the soldiers and the tax system of Caesar, when he is made a mockery as a citizen of Rome and taken prisoner. And St. Paul decides that he will write the recently baptized and renewed Christians of Philippi. In his letters to the Philippians, he doesn't dwell upon his sadness. He doesn't dwell upon the change that he has received. He doesn't dwell upon the fact that he has lost everything as a follower of Christ. He says, rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. I say it again. Rejoice. And safeguard the joy in your hearts by the gift of love, which is beyond understanding. It is not easy to guard joy. It is not easy to be safe, to safeguard the gift of the dispositions of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But there are interior choices that can be made, and the way that we respond to the difficulties and the contradictions of life that allow the fruit of the Spirit to blossom, even in suffering. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, and as St. Paul will say in Romans chapter 5, the great sign of the Holy Spirit is that in our suffering we rejoice. My brothers and sisters, this is the activity of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, where do we go? What do we do if we want to discover this gift again of Christian joy? How is it that we are called to receive and renew and walk with maturity so that we can truly rejoice in the Lord always? There is a sacred and simple path that the entire church is called to walk. My brothers and sisters, if love is the cause of joy, then that means the summit of the law, of the summit of love, is also the essence of the cause of joy. The Holy Spirit is the love of God, uncreated, in person. And we find in Mary, the Immaculate Conception, the summit of love in the created order. It is in the unity of the heart and the soul and the mind and the body and the person and mission of Mary, the Immaculate Conception, with the person and mission of the Holy Spirit, that we discover the summit of joy. the summit such that by an assent of Mary to the invitation of the angel in the moment of the Annunciation, she is able to conceive of the Son of God Himself. She becomes perfectly united with the Blessed Trinity, the chosen daughter of Zion, the beloved of the Holy Spirit, the Holy One of Israel, and the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God. Mary, the Immaculate Conception, is the key to understanding the essence and the discipline of Christian joy. Mary has received many titles in the Church. She is conceived without sin. She is ever virgin. She is immaculate. And she is assumed into heaven. All of these dogmas identify her person. But if we were to attempt to identify her mission in the life of the Church, we could identify it as her spiritual maternity. She who is the mother of God by the essential union of her soul and body and mission with the Holy Spirit is also the mother of the economy of grace. Every sacrament, every charism, every gift continues to be poured through her Immaculate Heart to us. And so a step of Christian freedom, a step of Christian maturity and safeguarding our hearts, of becoming custodians of joy, is to totally consecrate, to totally entrust our hearts and our lives to the Blessed Mother. By entrusting ourselves to her, we renew and we rededicate ourselves to the gifts that we have received in baptism. And my brothers and sisters, this becomes a whole way of life. That we begin the day, totus tuus ego sum et omnia mea tua sunt, O Maria. I'm totally yours, O Mary, and all of my things are totally yours. I don't even want to breathe on my own anymore. I don't want to think on my own or have emotions on my own. I want everything to have its origin in you. I want everything to be sustained in you. And I want everything to be drawn to completion in you. My brothers and sisters, by the act of Christian freedom, by the invocation of the Holy Spirit, we begin to become life-giving fountains of joy. We become witnesses of love and witnesses of joy. My brothers and sisters, John the Baptist proclaimed that he had brought a baptism, an immersion in water that would bring about the repentance of those who had received the gift, a turning of hearts to the Holy One of God. But he says, "There is one who comes who is greater than I, and he will baptize, he will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and in fire." My brothers and sisters, John the Baptist is talking about being immersed in the mystery of God, being immersed in the mystery of His Sacred Heart, which is a life-giving furnace of love that consumes our sins, that also invites us and pushes us and expands our hearts from the inside out to help us grow through those difficulties and those inhibitions of love within our hearts. Today we also desire to invite the gift of the Spirit and the gift of the fire of joy to be stoked within us. My brothers and sisters, we turn to Mary, the Immaculate Conception. She who is the summit of love in the created order. She who is the cause of our joy, that we may be totally hers, that all of our things will be totally hers, so that ultimately we are totally the Lord's and all of our things are totally His.